Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Are you ready?
It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network. It's KFC and Feitelberg, and your boy Fights is down bad right now. He looks like when you're trying to make yourself have a double chin and you pull your fucking neck back and you got a fat chipmunk face, except that's just his face right now. What do you got? Tonsillitis? You got swollen lymph nodes? You got...
Bro, I went to a clinic, so I don't know what I have. They were just like, here's medicine. And then I was like, well, what if this doesn't work? And they're like, well, then you should probably see a doctor.
Yeah, see, the rise, I don't know if this has been a thing forever or not, but the rise of the clinic, whether they've had a million names. They used to be Doc in a Box, now they're Minute Clinics, then they're Apple Med, West Med, all this shit. I don't know if this is common. Maybe I just sound like an idiot. But when people ask me, like, do you have a doctor? I'm like, no, bro, I go to the place next to Dwayne Reed. Like, I just go to this fake-ass little place where I'm the person I'm talking to, I don't even know if they have a medical degree. Yeah. And they're there to prescribe penicillin for fucking STDs. That's what's going on. It's a true clinic in the sense that it's just there for your dick and your vagina. But that's where I go anytime
COVID
I'm sick.
Test.
Yeah, and COVID. Yeah,
They're like, you might have COVID. I was like, well, I don't know. I got both vaccines.
Yeah, probably not, idiot.
I didn't even know this was a symptom of COVID, like sore throat. That doesn't make any sense. But they were like when I asked, I was like, so what if this doesn't work? And she's just immediately, she's like, go to the emergency room for sure.
I love when it's like, I cannot help you at all. Yeah. Like the idea that like people, or when you're filling out forms and shit, and they're like, who's your, like, family practitioner or your whatever the words are, your regular doctor or whatever. I'm like, bro, what? I haven't done that. Like, I don't go to the dentist. I don't have a pediatrician that I've been going to since I was, like, 10. I just, you know, find a clinic when I need something. That's really – I have, like, emergencies. You know, I have, like, surgeons. And I have fake doctors at the clinic. That's the life of everybody in the city. I don't know if, you know, you're in the burbs, maybe you got to go to like an actual medical practice. But the rest of us, we're just going to strangers on the corner.
My mom was surprised when I called her and I was on the way to the clinic. And she's like, you don't have a doctor yet? And I was like,
what?
She's like, you've been there for 5 years. I was like, lady, do you think I'm going to the doctor behind your back? Like, if I got a general practitioner and I was going to doctor's appointments, I would be screaming that from the rooftops.
Yeah.
Like I would be telling you, I've been so proud. Your boy's an adult. But guess what? I'm not. So now I just fucking go to a clinic down the street.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that there's real doctors. Those in-between doctors just even exist?
She was like Dr. House, but like the opposite, where it was House just does like broad spectrum antibiotics all the time. And she was like, because I guess very, very similar to House. She just gave me a million medicines. She was like,
take them all.
She's like, just take all these. She's like, this one's a steroid. This one's a pill. This one's a shot. This is like, we're just going to try everything. I was like, all right, let's just do it.
People don't even have degrees. I swear to God. I swear that was like a dermatologist or something. You know, like, I don't fucking know about swollen tonsils. I'm here for like acne, dude. Is it a sore throat or is it like you have, are your tonsils fucked? You have your tonsils?
I don't even know what my tonsils are.
Yeah, I feel like most people, you think more people have their tonsils or don't have their tonsils?
Have?
What about wisdom teeth? You think more people have wisdom teeth than don't have wisdom teeth?
Don't have.
I feel like adult tonsils are a problem. If your tonsils get fucked up when you're an adult, I feel like they're like an emergency.
Where are they? Are they here?
I think when you have tonsillitis, when it's real bad, they touch. They almost like close up your throat. It's like inside your throat. It's not, you know.
Bro, they never even checked my tonsils. They didn't do that.
What? Did they look at your throat?
No.
What, don't you have a sore throat?
Very.
They didn't put a tongue depressor in there?
No. They did one of those things.
Oh, so they did look in your throat.
But, well, they did, like, they tested. They didn't look at it. Like, I had to be like, as I look, my face is really swollen.
Yeah, you look like a fat fucking chipmunk right now.
Yeah, and they were like,
go to
like,
YouTube and watch. You got to see John's aesthetic for this. It's ugly.
It's bad. It hurts really bad. Yeah. I can't even eat. I can't open my mouth. This sucks.
Yeah, now that these sound terrible. The last thing in the world you want to do is a podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is for everybody who like always makes fun of us when we claim that this job is hard and all that. It's like, well, today's going to really suck for you now, John.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
We got Will Compton on the show, the boy Will Compton from Boston. We're going to talk. We'll do some voicemails, of course. We got our top five in a moment. Before Feidelberg, maybe you got sick because you maybe the world has been, you know, so sheltered and separated that you went to the garden and got crammed in there with 20,000 people, and you got all sorts. I bet you everybody's walking out of there sick because you haven't been around that many people in 2 years.
Yeah, that's probably it.
No, I'm not even kidding. It's like they said how much the flu went down during the past 18 months because nobody was transmitting a regular disease. I bet you being back at the garden, Fights went to the first concert back at MSG, Foo Fighters. Big hubbub in the office, by the way. Glenny Balls, none too pleased that it was not Billy Joel reopening the garden. And I gotta be honest, it kind of should have been Billy Joel.
Yeah, I get that argument. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's
not, and he's not, I thought it was like, he'll be there this weekend. He's not there until November. So, like, it should have been Billy. But it was, I mean, you can't really complain. It's not that, like, they put some scrubs up there. It was Foo Fighters, and the big the big surprise guest was Dave Chappelle, which...
The place went bananas.
Bananas, I'm sure. I was thinking like, oh, big guest from Foo Fighters. Maybe it is Billy Joel, or maybe it's Jay-Z, or some New York staple, or some musical icon. Nope, it's a guy who doesn't make music at all. It's just Dave Chappelle, which I think... Like, I would rather see that, you know? I don't care about... Like, when you go to a concert, you want to see a good show. You want to, like, hear the music, and it's cool when they can put on a good display. But also, I'd rather... I don't care if you can sing or not. I'd rather bring out, like... I don't know. Ryan Reynolds is here. I'd be like, oh, fucking cool. Ryan Reynolds is here. I don't even give a shit if you can sing or not. We bring out the cast of Always Sunny. All right. Fucking great. So, yeah, Chappelle gets the pop of the night and then sings.
It's hard to, like, Creep's a song I think anyone can sing.
Well, okay... Two things. First of all, did you know that this is Chappelle's like go-to move?
No.
He has done this with Ed Sheeran. He has done this with Bradley Cooper, with Lenny Kravitz, with John Mayer, with Erykah Badu. He's done this in a strip club. He's done this on stage at parties.
This very song?
Always Radio, Always Creep by Radiohead. It's like his karaoke. It's like his party trick. Like, you know, there's the guy who can wrap his dick around his wrist like a watch. Dave Chappelle's party trick is that he sings Creep by Radiohead. And apparently... I didn't put this in my One Minute Man because I couldn't find any proof of it. But according to Dante, they were both once on the Howard Stern show, which, again, I can't find any record of this. I'm sure if I searched Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, Dave Chappelle, or Howard Stern, it would pop up. It didn't. But he claims that Dave Grohl and Dave Chappelle were once talking. Dave Chappelle made fun of him and, like, his crowds for being too white. And Dave Grohl was like, fine, next show you can come on and you can fucking rap or something. And he was like, no, I'll come on stage, but I'm going to do Radiohead. And that was like a couple years ago. So Dante was like, this was years in the making. But I think it's more, it's apparent that he just, if he's not doing comedy, he's singing Creep. Now, the other thing I was going to say, though, is, you know, you just said everybody can sing Creep. I mean, I know if you asked me, like, what's a Radiohead song, I would have said Creep. I don't know this song one bit.
You don't know.
First of all,
I thought it was. I thought it was Nine Inch Nails in the moment.
Okay, that confused. Didn't you? Did you tweet that?
I deleted it.
Okay, yeah. I caught it at first, and I was like, I was like, did he do two songs? Because I saw people saying Radiohead, and then you said Nine Inch Nails. You were all backwards. Yeah, yeah, but I don't know that song.
Very Nine Inch Nails-y song.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a normal mix-up in my mind. If you don't know that music all that well, to me, like, 90s kind of, like, hardcore rock type of, like, alternative shit, I think of Nine Inch Nails and Radiohead is very, very similar.
It was funny though. I don't really know the Foo Fighters. I just went for the experience.
Yeah,
like, I obviously know some Foo Fighters songs, but sure. Like, I
you know the singles, right?
I'm gonna try and name Radiohead song, Foo Fighters songs right now.
Oh, I can't do it. People could be mad about this one, but
this is looking in the sky to save me, looking for the kind of light. That one.
What's the one where they go, this is the best? Is that Best of Me or something?
Yeah, Best of You.
That's
best
the
you.
One. That's the one I know.
I was.
People are probably puking right now. Foo Fighter fans are like, they're like soccer fans. They're like, you know, they get fucking. And I don't know them, but
and
I respect
I like them.
Don't
get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying they stink. I very much enjoy the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
I just don't listen to them that much. I don't know their catalog.
Right. And I mean, I don't feel like you need to know them or listen to them all the time to just know that Dave Grohl is the fucking man. I think in music, it's super rare. John Mayer's kind of doing it right now with The Dead, and anybody who's been in a band and then gone solo kind of does it. But I feel like Dave Grohl is almost like Kurt Warner, like going to the Super Bowl with different franchises. Being in Nirvana and like the drummer in Nirvana and the frontman of Foo Fighters is like, oh, yeah, you are that fucking dude. And I've always heard good stories about him. He just seems like one of the guys who does celebrity life the right way. So I just think of them as, like, the only and last, like, big-time rock band that, you know, it's not pop and it's not new age shit. It's just, like, guitars, drums, front man, long hair, like, rock music. So even though I don't know them or love them, I feel like they're you can still, like, really respect them.
Yeah, for sure. They are actually like the last, like definitely the last. Like, who was the last band?
That's what I mean. Like, I, when I was thinking when we did that arguments thing about like, can you be a rock band that doesn't trash a hotel room or a country singer that can't drive a stick? And I was trying to think of like bands to talk about, and I was like, the only like rock band is really, in my mind, them.
Yeah.
I guess the Killers, but I don't think of them as. I don't know. Like, for some reason, rock. I think, yeah, they're like a little bit poppy. They're a little bit like folksy at times, folk music-y. Yeah, to me, it's just like the Foo Fighters. And I feel like they're the band that wouldn't trash a hotel room, though.
Right.
You know, like, but they're still, you know, they're it. They're the last ones, but they're like kind of nice. But was Chappelle was like the moment of the night, I'm sure?
I was, you know, someone who has a better, again, better knowledge of their catalog would probably say a different song was.
Right.
But like, I mean, I was rocking out the whole night, but I wasn't really singing along because I don't really know most of the words. But
dude, that's an awkward spot to be in. You had a good time doing that? I would just be – I feel like when I'm there and I don't know – it's, you know, we've talked about this before. The concert is the average white man's predator. It's the average white man's kryptonite. Where it's like, you know, you're not a hot chick who can just shake her ass. You don't know how to like dance. You don't have rhythm. Especially if you're at a rap concert, you know, you can't even say half the words. You don't fit in. But if you don't know even know the words, what are you doing? You're just
rock's easier. Rock's
yeah,
easier.
I guess
rock was gotta, fucking headbanging.
Yeah.
Rock. I took care of pretty well, easy. I never felt awkward or weird last night. I saw like Jay-Z at Fenway. I was
awkward. Was that with Timberlake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the New York one of that tour.
Yo, I went like being... 3 nights in a row. It was weird.
It's too much. That's a lot.
it wasn't like, you know, I'm not like a diehard for either of them. It was just like.
It was there.
It was
in
the ticket.
Yeah, so, yeah. That was like when Jay-Z and Eminem were here and when Jay-Z and Timberlake were here, that was like a social thing. It was like,
do you
have tickets? Who do you know who has tickets? How many nights are you going? Was it like. Was it a weird, like, when it first started, were they talking about COVID? Were they talking about, like, return of music? Were people geeking out? Or was it just, like, because people were talking about it, like, you know, like it was a watershed moment in history, like the return of music. And I was like, I don't know. If there's one thing that I feel like has minimized And I say that word very lightly because I know it's still a serious situation. But the return to regular life has been so, like, normal that right. I think it's kind of minimized, like, the hysteria of COVID. So I feel like I would just be like, yeah, we went to a concert. It's back. We do concerts.
Yeah, I don't think they – I don't recall them making – I look so fat. I don't recall them making, like, a massive –
You look like they – like, when they do those apps. Like, when you – when, like, when Ken Jack comes around with a picture and takes a photo of just your face and you know you're about to be fat and old, that's – you just – but that's just your face, bro. It's not enough.
Bro, you can just – you can feel them so swollen.
Yeah.
But the I was going to say, I don't think they overdid it. I don't think they made a massive deal of it. I think it was – they definitely mentioned it. I don't think – I wasn't in there. I was a little late, so I wasn't there for the first show. It was – dude, getting a fucking ticket on Ticketmaster is a goddamn nightmare.
Nightmare.
Like, because I had to keep making accounts and logging in. I think I bought 3 tickets. And I just
that would
get
be
it.
The most Feidelberg thing ever. Dude dropped like $700 of tickets just to get it one in the building.
It was me and Nate, and like Nate. So it was actually Nate was one by him, and he somehow I stood in line to get Frankie Beverly a T-shirt, which I might have lost.
Wow,
what a friend you are!
I'll be honest. Somebody asked me to do that. I'm like, if it takes me under 3 minutes, I'll do it. Otherwise,
I offered him. I texted him. I know.
What a friend!
So I was in line getting. I was in line getting the fucking T-shirts. I get there. I was gonna get myself one too. I get there. They didn't have any of my size left, so I got Nate and Smitty. I'm sorry, Nate and Frankie a T-shirt. And then by the time I get out of line, Nate's like, I went inside. And I'm like, well, I don't have a ticket, man. You have a ticket.
So you had to buy one.
So then I was like, it just kept being like, he ended up, I think he bought more because like he kept trying to transfer me the tickets and it was just Ticketmaster be like, nah, you can't do that. And like, that it was sense. Honestly, probably, if like, I was asking people at ticket windows, I'm like, can you help? They're like, nope, that's a third party. We don't do that shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, it says right here, I have a ticket. Like, can I just go in? And they're like, nah, you can't do that. No. It was like, honestly, probably took me an hour to get in. And
that too, I would have given up for a band that I don't really know. I would have been like, okay, I'm out of here.
I texted Nate 3 different times. I was like, yo, I'm just gonna split. He's like, no, I'll fix it. Yeah. But I
would have gone home.
So I don't know what they opened the show talking about. But by the time I got in there,
I saw one clip. He said like he did something where they finished the lyrics for him, or they shouted something back at him, and he just said, "God damn, I missed that attention." Which is probably so true for the mega famous people. Like, we heard it all COVID long from the comics that we interview, how they realized how much of like a void in their life it was not being able to go on stage. And I think that was like because of their craft and their work, but also because they were used to like 7 nights a week having adoring fans suck their dick. And if you're a band like Foo Fighters, who you're used to getting, you know, 50,000 people chanting your name a few times a week, and all of a sudden that's gone, it's probably a problem, man. It's probably like your brain is not right without it.
Yeah, you're definitely missing a certain serotonin or dopamine.
Right, for sure. And then, but so for you, Chappelle was the moment.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was great. It was really, really fun. I had an absolute blast at it. Like, again, I'm not the biggest.
If you could have one person come out, musical or otherwise, at your, let's say you're at your favorite concert and they bring a person out, doesn't have to be a singer, who would you want?
All right,
that's a good ATI question. Who do you want your surprise? It's almost like wrestling, you know what, like everybody should have their own theme music the way wrestlers do for their life. Like, imagine that if Dave Chappelle, like if you heard, like, ladies and gentlemen, and you heard, like, Chappelle Show. I was like, what? Your theme music drops and you make an appearance. I would fucking love that. Everywhere Stone Cold goes, the glass breaks. People know.
It would be someone who doesn't fit. Like,
yes,
honestly,
I agree.
Weirdly, the first person came to mind, and it's probably only because I've seen – he's done, like, two separate shows with weird bands that were both sick. Kendrick Lamar.
Really?
Kendrick Lamar did – what was it? Oh, wait, no, it wasn't Kendrick Lamar.
You look so fat. when you look up like that, it looks like Dennis when he's the sex offender in Always Sunny.
It makes just no sense.
It's crazy. Put your chin up like this. Look up.
You can see it.
You really can. You know what? You should like use one of those rollers and like I think it's filled up. I think it's got fluid. You got to like push it out.
It's very full of
fluid. Does it hurt?
Oh, it hurts immensely.
To like you can't push it because I think like,
oh yeah, I can't open my mouth.
Oh, like, immensely. All right, well let's keep it moving then. So a dream moment for Robbie and I think Chuck out there at seeing Foo Fighters and Dave Chappelle come out, an absolute nightmare moment for the Sixers fans here at Barstool Sports, Roan, Smitty, and Fran. Not only do the Sixers lose Game 7, not only is it the end of the process, not only is the window shut and it's pretty much a wrap, but all the while for their game watch.
Why is that?
Why is the process over?
Yeah.
They have three max contracts. Like Ben Simmons, they I mean, you know, we were joking around about restarting the process, just trade everybody for a bunch of picks and start the process over again. But if people don't want Ben Simmons and his contract, and people are not going to want Tobias's contract, and you still got Embiid, but the whole idea was always staying super lean, young guys that are on their rookie contract, and if they haven't proven themselves, ship them out of town for more picks until you amass like the right guys, and then you go all in with it. They kind of went all in. They gave the max contracts out, and it's not only did it not work this year, it's very clear that, like, you know, it's not just like, oh, we fell short. It's like, oh, Ben Simmons is afraid to shoot a basketball. Tobias Harris is nowhere close to a max contract, and Embiid is a big man, so he can't really play like by himself in today's world. So it's not like done, but it's not. They're not, you know, they used to be like so set for the future, and the future is bright. Now it's more like you're going to have to make a, you know, square peg in a round hole to try to pull this thing out. But not only is that all that on the court happening, off the court, during the electric chair, what I'm saying is the worst electric chair moment of all time, I think. Trista Crick, Xena Warrior Princess, screaming in Smitty's ear, talking shit to Roan and Fran the whole time, just laughing it up. I can't think of a worse. I mean, she's been going at it with them like all year. And this would be like if she was like, Tuukka Rask sucks. She was on the other side of that all year long. And you were arguing for him. And then you get bounced and she's at Borelli's screaming in your ear. As bad as all those other goons were, imagine if it was Trista in your ear hole. I said it on the rundown and I'll say it again. People were like, oh, you can't say that. I would have hit Trista. I would have hit her. If she was screaming in my ear, I wouldn't have closed fist punched her, but I would have face mushed her. I would have given one of you, like, get out of my face. Screaming in someone's ear like that is almost like fucking hitting somebody. That's like, I can't be held responsible for my involuntary reaction in that moment.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That I had to,
you know, that's right.
I had to get physical.
Yeah. I more restraint than I ever could imagine from Smitty in that situation. Now,
it was
a lot of Trista haters out there, and I hate to break it to you. If you are a Trista hater, this is Portnoy's dream. Like, he just found a new foil to Smitty. You know, he loved Smitty versus Spider Monkey, and that kind of died out. He's going to keep Trista around forever now, just to continue to harass Smitty, who he doesn't like. So, I mean, he loved every second of it. He called it. He opened up his live stream talking about it today. Like, anybody who was like, oh, like, she's done here, don't worry. Oh, no, no, no. Lifetime contract for Trista Crick now. Because Portnoy just loves a whack pack who bothers the people that he doesn't like. And Trista's going to bother Smitty for the rest of his life.
It is. He really had to get physical. That was the only movie. You had to. It was. I so badly wanted to get physical when I was dealing with those guys after the Islanders game. But I was like, I was on the side of a highway. This, you could just pick Trista and put it through a tape.
Just good. Right. You could have thrown her right out the window of the Philly house. Just right onto the streets of Philadelphia and let those people deal with her. See you later. I mean,
that's true. You should have put out a sign and marched around town.
Honestly, if in Die Hard with a Vengeance, when he's got to walk around Harlem with the sandwich board around him,
if you put
her out on the street with a shirt that just said "I am Trista Crick from Barstool Sports," she wouldn't walk out alive. She'd be dead right now today.
Ben Simmons has, was it balloon hands or something like that?
I mean, just, you know, one of the worst trolls, but in the end, it ends up being the best troll ever. I think it might be. You know, I had my Connor Gillespie moment. I had a moment this year with the Jets when they won a game on the rundown on the electric chair. I haven't had many opportunities. I've had a couple heartbreaks, but I haven't just had many games to even sit in on. What is was this your worst electric chair moment this year?
This one it didn't really happen because
like game seven honestly, was the
game six. We were at like so I wasn't really on it that much.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
at the Coliseum and you couldn't really get that. I've never gone back to watch it, but
right. No, it didn't have the same juice as Borelli's. Yeah.
And then Borelli's wasn't that bad because I always like, that's why I was like laughing when Mr. Borelli would like spike his shot in my face. Like, I didn't care because I was like, the Bruins are winning the series. Who gives a shit? Like, it was.
Also, it's tough. Like, Mr. Borelli, it's an enjoyable thing. It's like, you're almost happy for this guy who's, like, living out this dream of, like, you know what I mean? Like, I would have been, as mad as I would have been, have it being Mr. Borelli in your face is a billion times better than having it be Trista in your face.
Oh, absolutely. And like, I was never angry at Mr. Borelli, but like when it started, I was angry just at the world.
Yeah.
When like during game six, when it started to sink in, like, oh, fuck.
Oh, it's not. Yeah.
We are going to lose the series.
Yeah.
It had never crossed my mind until like middle of game six.
Right.
I was like, the Bruins are a better team. Like, we're going to win the series. And so like it was like easy to laugh and stuff like that. But it could not be anyone
it's
worse.
It's the worst. I mean, my list of people, you know, Dave is kind of like number one. When Dave, it's going to be funny, like the final chapter of Barstool or these later days of Barstool, where like Dave has gone on to such a different level that like nobody is going to remember or know. The new people who know Dave aren't going to know about like his quote unquote rivalry with me when it comes to like the Jets and the Pats and my teams versus his teams and him versus Shea and all this shit. But there was a time where it was like that was the storyline always was he laughed at me and like the worst thing I could think of was losing a game to him. So like he'll still always have like the crown, but like Frank for me, I said on We Gotta Believe, I'm not, if the Mets make it to the playoffs, I'm not watching a game with him. I will just decline. I will tell Dave no. I am not doing it. I'm not going to Trista Crick myself. I will not be Smitty. And it's weird because Frank is technically on the same side as me, but I won't subject myself to that because I won't let myself get cricked. Because, I mean, imagine if I tried to get physical with Frank. Imagine if he was screaming at me and I tried to, like, fight Frank. Imagine me pushing Frank around. We can't have that.
One person told him to shut up, and it was, like, the end of the world.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I was kind of just thinking about it for my own personal enjoyment. Like, the Mets are so rarely in the playoffs, and if they do make it, I think they have a good chance to make some noise, so I'm not going to ruin this by sitting and watching with Frank. But now thinking about, I'm not even allowed to, like, clap back at him, or people are going to tell me that I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't even know, like I need to handle him with kid gloves. Fuck that, not doing it. Will not let myself get Fleming to the same way that Smitty got cricked.
That whole saga was some serious. Like, I miss the old Barstool show. Oh. Like, we're getting mad at people for bullying now.
For people who don't know that, because it didn't quite pop. Nate was playing cornhole with Frank. And, like, Frank had his fucking meltdown. Because he's, I'm 0-900. Nothing ever goes well for me. Like, welcome to the fucking party, dude. And Nate was like, why are we treating this guy like a baby? Just be an adult. That's all he said.
He's back. He's like, no, you got to have a couple breaths. Just a couple breaths. And reset. You need everything to reset. Be an adult. You know, Nate, that's why. That's why.
And people were like, how dare you say that, Nate? Because what? Because Frank is, like, weird and eccentric. He can't take, like, any sort of criticism or any sort of, like, ball busting. Like, yeah, old Barstool, like, I mean.
Bullying. People got mad about bullying.
Dude, the things that would have been said about him in the old days, like, come on, man. Like, give me a fucking break. So
I like Frank. I've had good experiences with Frank. I've had a great time at a hockey game with him. I've also been annoyed by Frank. That shouldn't be a controversial statement.
No. I mean, that's pretty much everyone's existence with Frank Fleming is like, yeah, I've had some enjoyable moments, and then I've had some moments where he drives you absolutely crazy. And I think Frank would know that and understand that.
I think that's pretty much everyone's experience with everybody.
With everybody. Yeah, with the whole fucking world. So who would be at Barstool and then also in just like if you could pick like the worst person in the world, period. Like, you could pick, like, Frank Fleming for me. Also, I think it would be absolutely horrendous. And this is not political, so don't make it one. Don't make it that way. But, like, if I was an electric chair with, like, Tucker Carlson, and he was, like, if the Mets were playing, like, the Dodgers in the NLCS, and Tucker Carlson was a Dodgers fan, like, chirping at me, I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
What made you think of
I don't Tucker know. Carl? I was just thinking, who's, like, the most annoying person? I could see him just, like eating, like, popcorn, just like, and, like, trying to talk about baseball like he talks about anything else. And I just like, shut the fuck up, Tucker, in his little bow tie. You know what I mean? I think I would just go bananas. I would lose my fucking mind. Bring in Frank. Get Tucker out of here. But Trist is up there, man. Even, you know, I don't even have a beef with her as far as, like, Simmons and the Sixers the way Smitty did. But you'd be hard-pressed to find someone at Barstool who's worse than that. Because there's a level of, like, deserving it, you know? Like, when you go up against, if you can, you know, it sounds funny using that terminology, but, like, you go up against a Barstool personality in these things. And, you know, if it's an OG or someone who's done a lot of work here or been around a while, there's almost like a mutual handshake at the end, like the hockey teams do. And yeah. That, but not with Tristan. People would be like, no, fuck that.
Dude, you say old school Barstool. One of mine might be Gas.
Oh, that's tough. Playoff Pauly.
Pauly playoffs, watching a hockey game with Pauly playoffs would be, because he's an anti-Tuca. And he's only anti-Tuca.
Right. He wants the Bees to win, but he hates Tuca.
He doesn't have an actual take on Tuca.
No. He just starts pot.
I'm just fucking with John.
Yes.
So I do a good job at ignoring it on Twitter, but if we're in the same room.
Face to face.
Hands would be
thrown. Oh. And yeah, that's a guy who I think you should be able to fight him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, throw some hands. Not doesn't have to be like a rough and rowdy thing. It can just be a one time in the moment, you know. I said if Smitty had just done the Dave Chappelle, Howard Dean, uppercut, just boom right then and there. I know that's not allowed, but I don't think there is a jury alive that would convict. I think they'd be like, well, but did you see? Did you see the scream?
Just a scream.
Like, not a word, not a phrase. Not a thing, just loud decibels in your fucking eardrum in, like, what's arguably the worst moment of your... I mean, they were talking about, you know, is this worse than, like, losing when you had McNabb in the playoffs? Like, is this worse than... They were throwing out... Somebody said it's worse than the Joe Carter walk-off. Like, really bad.
How?
I know. I mean, well, here's the how. Because I know Joe Carter was, like, you know, in the World Series final game, so obviously a bit different. But if you had told the Sixers fans... You've got to get through the Bucks, and then either the Suns or the Clippers to win the title. You would be saying, like, this is our best chance at an NBA championship, maybe fucking ever. And all you got to do to get through, to get, you know, to the Bucks is get through Kevin Huerter and the fucking Hawks. They would be salivating. So it's you know.
Who left? Bucks, Hawks, Clippers, Suns?
Clippers. Suns in the Western Conference, Bucks, Hawks. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's three teams that have never won a title and one team, like, not since 1965 or something. So it's like the NBA's quote-unquote nightmare in terms of classic franchises. Although, you know, there's a whole new young crop of superstars and people are going to get exposure to all these new teams. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. But, yeah, if you get, you know, if it's Atlanta versus Phoenix in the title, absolutely gruesome. I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I love Kevin Huerter now, the white boy ginger on the Hawks. And I don't know, he's like, I mean, bright orange hair, paler than you are, and he put up like 29 points last night, just lights out. And I don't know if it's I was tagged in some conversation, so I don't know if it's his actual, like, widespread nickname, but somebody said that they call him Red Velvet because Red Velvet's still actually a chocolate cake. But on the outside, it's red. So, like, he's this kid who can ball. So black people fuck with him. But he's this white boy ginger. So he's Red Velvet. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. An all time bad electric chair villain troll moment. So, tweet at us, I guess, with your worst combos for at Barstool and just life in general. Who would be the worst person to kick you while you're down during a big loss for your team? We'll do our top fives while we're speaking about getting kicked while you're down. Johnny is down and out. So today we're going to do top five things.
I don't know if you've noticed yet. I just keep moving.
I know. I'm
trying to find a place to be comfortable.
I know. You go up, you go down. I feel like when you sit down, you like get more congested. You stand up. I don't know. You're just moving. We're gonna get through this, Johnny. We're gonna rip through this, babe. Top five things to do when you're sick. Top five things you like to do. Top five things that alleviate the sickness. Just top five things when you're sick.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Top fives, thing to do when you're sick. Johnny, since you are sick, you can go first. What's something you've been doing maybe?
I haven't started it yet, but once I'm done with this, it starts. Watch Harry Potter.
Wow. Is that the go-to? You watch all eight of them?
Whenever I'm sick, I just watch Harry Potter all day.
Wow. I mean, the thing is, if you can make it through eight Harry Potters, you're sick, bro. You know, it's like it's like, oh fuck, this is like a full like 48-hour bug because it's been a day and I'm still not right.
I've said it before. I do try and get through all.
Well, so they're all like two plus hours, right? So you're probably pushing about 24 hours.
There's eight of them. I believe it's like 28 hours. I'm 22 hours and something.
Yeah, I could see it just being under 22, 24. That makes sense.
I think that's what it is. But I've tried. I fell asleep like during the eighth one time. That was the closest I ever got.
And that it gives you your comfort while you're sick, huh?
Very much so.
I'm going to go a throwback. I'm going to go cliche, but it's got to go number one for me. And it's not something that happens now, but it's something that happened for the first, you know, 15, 20 years of your life. And of course, it's The Price is Right. And it's not just The Price is Right. You can throw in Make a Deal, right? Make a Deal.
Let's make a deal.
Or like the daytime talk shows or People's Court, Family Feud. Like there's this whole world when you're sick and you're in school age, you realize there's this whole world that you didn't know existed. And it's all like stay at home moms and sick kids and grandmas and shit, the people who just don't go anywhere during the day. And it's like, oh, the television actually works between these hours. Like there's actually programming on. And of course, The Price is Right, specifically Bob Barker, was always king of that time. And it's funny because we say it, and it's like, that only takes up a smidge of your day, and then fucking what? But there's something about spinning here in the wheel, that beep, 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 or doing the showcase. It's the king of sick programming.
Number two is making noises.
Just like, ah! Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Best.
Yep.
For the last like hour before the show started, I was laying on the couch, like basically just exhaling the evil.
Yep.
I just like
get it out. Yep. I'm gonna piggyback off of that pick with my pick because what the noises does is alerts everybody, and what that does is my pick here. The overall best part of being sick is the sympathy. Getting sympathy is my favorite thing in the world. There would be times, I mean, you know, I've had, what, seven surgeries? Every time I, you know, fucked up a neck, a bone, a disc, you know, I was getting surgery, and then everyone's like, oh, man, do you need anything? Can I help you? Oh, I'll get that. Don't worry. The amount of I'd almost be happy when I'm going into surgery because I'm like, I'm not going to have to do shit for 6 to 8 weeks, motherfucker. And when you're sick, when you're real sick and someone actually is like there to take care of you and you just groan and moan and all that shit and they take care. Oh, no expectations. No, I'm not doing nothing. Dishes, nothing. That's being sick. That's sympathy, baby.
I do think, by the way, the making noises, I do think it works. I do think it makes
expelling it.
I think there's medical medical usage to it. Yeah, I think medical applications.
Well, there's got to be a reason why, like we and animals, like moan. You know, when you're injured or sick, you're like,
it's like you know, they've done studies on like weightlifting and like you. You lift more weights when people are watching or when music is on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Or when you swear, you're stronger and you're tougher when you swear.
Really interesting.
And yeah, remember there was one like
the was it the History of Swears or whatever on Netflix? Mm-hmm. And then they do that experiment where they put their hand in a bucket of ice.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you scream like fuck, it can last longer.
And then another one if you keep swearing.
Yeah,
like, it lasts like it's like their hands went for like 15 seconds without it and like 3 minutes with it.
Yes.
Like, it was a stark difference.
Yeah, there's also a study that was done that was like who was telling me about it? Was it you? No, the story of I remember being against it. It was hope. It was like if you have a little bit of hope. It was like if I threw you in the fucking ocean and it was like you got to tread water to survive and you were like, well, no help's coming, you would die in like 5 minutes. And if I threw you in the ocean and like there was a boat that would like come by every now and then, you could tread water for like 35 hours. There was some experiment where it was like if you give them even the littlest bit of hope, these rats could tread water for like 65 days. I was actually against it because I was like, fuck hope. I don't want hope.
That makes sense. Like your body definitely gives up. It's over. Whatever.
Yeah, there's no reason. Yeah, this could be it for John. By the way, this might be his last top five ever. All right, what do you got? Next pick.
Soup.
Great pick. Great pick.
I'm gonna order some soup like now.
Yeah. Nice. I'll go with my food pick. Drinking ginger ale. Ginger ale is not even a drink to me. Ginger ale is like a medicine. It's like an elixir. I don't only drink it when I'm sick, but it's definitely a hangover slash sickness. Like when especially from like I feel like my grandma would like prescribe it. She'd be like, here's some like warm ginger ale with ice chips. Can't be regular ice. Got to be ice chips. And then, you know, whether it's placebo or what, all I know is my fucking stomach was feeling better.
It is weird. It's like this is like what like St. Bernard's actually carried in their thing. It wasn't whiskey. It was ginger fucking
ale. I feel like the soup is the food form of that though. Like I eat soup other times. I very much enjoy soup. Like no matter what the circumstance. But when you're, it's like you can have ginger ale and soup whenever you want. But you have to have those when you're sick. That's kind of you know the Venn diagram of it all. So yeah, what kind of soup specifically though?
Chicken noodle.
Gotta be. Yeah. You're not gonna get lobster bisque when you're sick, you know. It's the broth that you gotta get. So yeah,
lobster bisque actually stinks even when you're not sick. Lobster bisque is a bad soup.
That's not true. That's silly.
Lobster bisque. There's not enough. There's one little tiny piece of lobster. Like fucking give me lobster.
It's lobster soup. It's not lobster meat.
I know, but there should be more meat.
That's like saying like when you get tomato soup, there's not enough like tomatoes to chew on. It's not how it works.
All right, whatever.
You're up. Good argument.
That's fair.
You're up.
Just sitting in the shower. Just sit right on the fucking floor, piss everywhere.
Oh, God. Sitting in your own. John's like nothing like sitting in your own piss when you're sick. It's the best. What am I, my fourth pick, Nick?
Yeah, but I think you skipped two. We went straight from making noises to John did soup right after. Did you snake
sympathy,
in there?
Sympathy.
Oh, sympathy. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Right. This is crazy that this slipped to the fourth pick. Losing weight, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one. You get a stomach bug and you come out of it like 20 pounds lighter. Oh, there's nothing better than the fucking the like malaria diet. Give me one of those fucking tapeworms. Give me something where I can't keep anything down for 48 hours. I'm ready for fucking spring break after that, bitch.
Dude. All right. I can't leave this one. So this is my fifth.
Yep.
Excuses. It's so nice. It's so nice to not have to lie.
Yeah.
It's like you spend so much of your life pretending to be sick to not do stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like actually hitting traffic on the way to work.
Right.
It's like, oh, like, there's actually traffic. There's a reason.
So wait. So I guess that under that umbrella falls like you know sick days, like not having to go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when
you can separate it.
Okay. Because then I'm taking sick days. So you're talking about getting out of like social events.
I'm talking about, I mean, I meant like even this, like. Like, it was nice to call you and be like, oh, I'm sick.
Right. Okay. I was going to say the same thing about work. Like, getting out of school or getting out of work when it's real, when you call up and you're not even putting on a fake voice, you're not even exaggerating, you're just like, yo, boss, I'm fucking sick. And you mean it. And honestly, as good of a liar as you might be, people can tell. But your voice, when you're actually sick, like, and you know it, you say it differently. You can't fake that, you know?
when I call my mom before I called you, so weird, there's the two calls I made. I'm not feeling well. She just goes, "Oh my god, I can smell it." She's like, in your voice, I can smell it.
Yeah, your apartment must be disgusting when you're sick. Just the sights and sounds and smells that come out of you.
She like farts and stuff.
I guess I don't know.
I have a weak nose. She has a weirdly fucking good nose. Like, it's infuriating. Like as a kid, it was very disturbing. Where she would like, she'd like walk into a room and be like, "Ew, who has her shoes off?" I'm like, well, come on, mate. Like,
is she like a basset hound or something?
Yeah. But she was like, "I can just smell it already." Ugh,
disgusting. All right, so let us know your top fives when you're sick. Tweet at us. We'll put out the graphic. Let us know who won this matchup and tweet us your top five things. We'll get into our voicemails in a second. First, though, Corinna Kopf from...
Yeah, so who is that?
So I know she's the only beneficial. She's in the vlog squad. She's part of David Dobrik's team. So she's just like the fucking super smoke vlogger. She's like 25 years old. Blonde, bombshell, super sexy, and I think she's just one of the vloggers who was willing to like put her whole life out there on camera. She's the one. Do you remember when that guy, there was that big controversy, that guy who got spun around on the So right before that, a girl grabbed on and she just wanted to like get off the ground a little bit, and Dobrik started to spin her around, and she quickly let go and was like, "Fuck you, Dobrik, like, you always take shit too far, you always fuck with me, like, fuck you." It was that girl. So she's like in the vlog world, but said, "Fuck it, I'm joining OnlyFans." She made over $1 million in 48 hours. And everybody was kind of giving her shit, though, saying the classic, like, "You're just recirculating your Instagram pictures." Mm-hmm. And I think she was doing a little bit more than her Instagram. But this is the way to do it, man. Because, first of all, there are guys, like, Glennie is obsessed with this girl. There's a million guys out there who are just going to be, like, happy to even be in the mix and maybe get... You know, okay, yeah, you were wearing that on your Instagram, but now I get to see, like, your ass and wearing the thong. Whatever. Something, like, basically that. But then she announced, she's like, "Okay, I'm going to do a topless photo." And that was for DMs. That was for, like, separate money. And she made another $165K just posting a picture of her tits, which, to be honest, I thought was low.
I was going to say the same thing.
I think it was $20 a pop. So that's what? That's only, like... what, 165,000? So that's like 8,000 people, which is like not that many, but also maybe she just posted it. This is time's like still going. But I guess, you know, all things considered, though, it's a lot of money, and to be able to just be like, I'm gonna show some nipples today and make, you know, almost $200,000. That is power, man. That is. I mean, remember when Lana was like, "I can make $1 million whenever I want." This actually really proves that, because as big of a star as this girl Corinna is, she's not even, you know, close to a Lana Rhodes. If she can make $200,000 for posting nipples, if Lana's like, "I'm gonna put stuff in my asshole," I'm surprised it's only $1 million. So I mean, it is just. I know we've talked about it a lot. There was that run of time where we were like strictly an OnlyFans podcast, but then that kind of died down, and now I think there's this other wave of like, wow, this really is just like pretty common amongst every female influencer, and they're just gonna all be fucking rich. There's some girl from Love Island is on OnlyFans, makes a boatload of money. She said she likes to get fucked 8 times a day. Eight, John.
I mean, well, yeah.
Do you have 4 boyfriends? Because then, fine. Then that makes sense. But if we're talking about one fella out there, you know, Godspeed to him. But she's, you know, she's hot. She's got a hot body, but she's nothing. She's like the girl from Love Island.
That's just not true. Like, I like to get fucked 8 times a day.
Yeah, it's like, no, you don't. As a matter of fact, I feel like girls wanting to get fucked 8 times a day makes less sense. Like, guys, it's hard. We got to perform. But we, you know, if you can get it up, you can do it. A girl, like, 8 times a day of just getting penetrated, that does not sound fun at all.
No.
Like,
I'm sore thing every single day of your life.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure that girls are mostly lying when they say they're sore, but let's say they're telling the truth. That's after, like, you know, one or two good sessions. Imagine eight. You can't even fucking move after that. But OnlyFans is trying to pivot to, like, regular content.
I heard you say this the other day.
It's like, brother, if it ain't broke, you know, the problem is when you – so I read up on it a little bit. They want to go public or at least get – maybe not go public, but they want, like, infusions and investments from, like, venture capitalist groups. A lot of venture capitalist companies say they do not engage in vice companies. So it can't be gambling, booze, weed, sex. I don't know if that's a moral thing or if it's like a business thing, like because of regulations that might come out and put an end to that business or whatever. But they're like, we can't raise the money that we want if we are like a sex worker platform. But
I mean, that's going to take a pretty long time to spin that.
That's what I'm saying. And what's crazy is they already make money. So they made – there was $2 billion worth of content that went on in OnlyFans, which means it was a $400 million of revenue for them. So like
Jesus.
You know, a lot of these companies when they start taking on investment, they're not even like making money, you know what I mean? They're not even breaking even yet.
OnlyFans, I think, like, aren't like Uber and Netflix, don't they still not make money?
Exactly. It's like, you know, these apps, social media and Uber and them, it's like, yeah, we're not even turning a profit yet. We're going to turn a profit in like year five. Well, OnlyFans has $400 million of revenue coming in. So let me, you know, if the venture capitalists won't invest, like, come on over to Barstool. We'll fucking invest in you. So they're trying to turn it to like non-sex work. And I don't know if you can stop that. I guess if you just kicked everyone off for showing their tits or having sex, but you do that. And you ain't going to have anybody fucking left. So OnlyFans.
A lot of angry customers.
Yeah. Do not bite the hand that fucking feeds you, you dummies. And same thing with Victoria's Secret. If it ain't broke, don't fix it with them. I guess it is broke. They're not making that much money anymore. But they got rid of like hot chicks, basically. I don't know. I mean, I think that's unfair. I feel like, imagine if you were a model just breaking into the game. And you've starved yourself and worked out incessantly. And now you're like, bam, I got this Victoria's Secret body. I'm going to walk the runway next year. And they're like, oh, never mind. We got rid of this fashion show. And then you're like, all right, well, that sucks. But I'm still going to be in the magazine, right? Like, no, never mind. We're going to put, like, athletes in there. Like, what the fuck, man?
They're doing it with – it's with all of them?
It's called like – the VS Collective is now, like, Megan Rapinoe, the first transgender Victoria's Secret model girl – there's like a skier, like athlete kind of girl. There's Priyanka Chopra. There's other girls who I think are typical model looks, but they're just all ethnic. So like there's this, it's like the Justice League of women, like the VS Collective. And they're going to like be the ones, they're not going to be in the magazine. They're going to do like podcasts and do appearances. So they're just trying to shift their image, but it's like, damn man. Like, what, we can't even just have a standard for hot anymore? Like, I get it. You shouldn't – just because you're not, like, tall, skinny waist, big tits, and a fat ass doesn't mean you're not beautiful. So, yeah, we should be more inclusive. And, like, you can have all those people in your magazine or whatever. But we can't have the, like, Emily Ratajkowski body be, like, the – you can't pick what we want to be, like, desirable anymore?
Yeah, it's not even like pick who you want. It's like at least to offer that as an option.
Right,
still.
That's what I mean. Like still keep. Like, can we make sure we still have the fucking big titties?
They don't have to all look like that, but right. They should still be represented. They're a body type.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like when people complain about like this is reverse racism. The white people aren't getting jobs. Imagine if you're like a Victoria's Secret model like body, and they're like, nah, we can't put you on the cover anymore. Like, well, what's the fucking point of what? Now men want to fuck me. That's it. Great. Great, guys are just going to try to put their dick in me. That was worth it? All this fucking work? So, OnlyFans, Victoria's Secret, leave it alone.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
First voicemail, let's go.
Hey, KFT. This is Kyle calling from South Dakota. I have a question. I'm in a bit of a dilemma here. I've been on this Tinder dating site. I got two girls now that I'm down to fuck with. one's a construction worker, super cute. The other one is works for a marketing company, also super hot. I'm trying to figure out at which point do I choose the one that I want? How do I choose the one that I want? Basically, what I'm asking.
Both of them
are almost perfect.
This is a deep question.
Both taller, good looking, successful. I'm just trying to figure out which one I should choose. Thanks, guys.
I can tell that this dude is a good guy. This guy's a good dude. So, John, the question's pretty simple with a lot of extra details that weren't necessary in there. He found two girls on Tinder, but he's dating them. Both tall, pretty, good-looking, successful. And he's just like, how do I like them both. Like, how do I pick between the two? And, you know, what do I do? And I think that that's a question that I think some guys who just, like, sleep around, date around a lot, don't really care. They're just like, I remember I was going through this before I got married. I was seeing two girls, and one of my girlfriend, just a friend who was in the crew, was a girl. She was like, just keep fucking them. Just keep fucking. And I remember her saying this because I think at this point she was just in party mode too. She was like, just keep fucking them until it blows up in your face. Like, she's like, just keep riding that, and then, you know, like, we'll see where it lands. And I remember being like, fuck yeah. Wait, no, wait, hang on. I was like, I don't want it to blow up in my face. But I do believe this is where, like, honesty is, like, so clutch. Because I think if you're dating both these girls and you like both of them and they like you and you're enjoying yourself, I think as long as you're just like, yo, I'm not going to be exclusive but, like, want to keep seeing you, I think you can just keep doing this until something presents itself, until you find out, oh, I don't like this one, or this one really is the – or neither one, or they dump you, or whatever it may be. But I think as long as you're honest that you're not, like, sleeping around on anybody or leading anybody on thinking that they're already exclusive with you, you can just keep doing this until the decision is made for you.
I agree.
But it's also – yeah.
Never in a million years would I do that.
Never. It's so hard, dude. It's so hard. I remember being like, all right, now that I'm single after my divorce, I'm going to just – lay my cards on the table. If I got hurt feelings, I'm going to do it. If I got to shoot myself in the foot, I'm going to do it. I will just be honest. And then as time got away from that and I just got back to my usual ways, I'm like, well, I don't want to upset her, so I'm not going to say that. It's
bro,
just the worst.
I talk to a girl and I'm like, okay, well, we're dating, so I can't see anyone.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if I say hello to somebody, I'm like,
we're exclusive.
I have a girlfriend.
Yes. Yeah. and then just
such like, a pussy.
Totally, dude. And honestly, it ends up being worse for everyone involved. It's not just like, oh, fuck, I've screwed myself over. It's like now things are going to be worse for her too because you're all mixed up. I feel like in the beginning when it's like, what'd you do last night? It's like, nothing. I was just, like, hanging out home. I was just, like, by myself. Like, I wasn't with anybody. Don't worry. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to upset you. Please don't be mad. It's you know what it is? It's like PTSD, John, from our past, where it's just, like, being honest and open used to be awful for us for so many years with so many women. And I'm sure it was also our own shortcomings. But I really think that if you can do it, and you should be able to because you're an adult and fuck it, girls are – they want to be treated equally, and they want honesty too. So, just tell both. Don't you don't have to specifically say like, "Hey, I'm fucking other people." But I think as long as you're honest, you can just do this until the answer like appears. But also understand that's much easier said than done. Next up.
Somehow you got Todd McShay out into like a field next to a graveyard, and you're doing all these stupid things, and like you see Dave rig the entire combine by changing the cones on the three cone drill, and then running it and like beating the Big Cat's time easily just because he changed it and all that stuff. And it's hilarious, but I can never imagine you guys doing it now. Like you said you were 27. Anyway, my question, I guess, is with fights being there for a long time, too, what is the, like, one thing you're most, like, ashamed of from, like, old Barstool? Or maybe through like past memories stuff.
Dude, so this guy just describes the entire combine, John. This dude just stumbled upon the first combine, and he's like, you guys set up the cones, and you were running, and you're with McShay next to like a graveyard. It's a piece of shit. I'm like, yeah, man, it's called the combine. It's like our most talked about piece of content ever. But it really is funny how much people revere that stuff. And then it's like, if you go back and watch that video, straight up sucks. Like that was when Hank he lied and said he knows how to do this stuff. He, like, Todd McShay's mic wasn't turned on, and our cameras were barely working.
It was Hank's very first day.
Right. It was his first thing that he, like, ever filmed. So, anyway, his point is, like, he was like, I can't believe that you guys did this. I could never see you guys doing this now. Which is, I mean, we did a second combine, but it was much more, you know, it was a sponsored content, and it had everybody at the company. As far as just being, like, three guys out in a field fucking around, you know, it's certainly never going to be me, Dan, and Dave doing those things again. But ultimately, the question, John, is what from the old days of Barstool are you most ashamed of and most like surprised by, like how much it sucked?
Boy, I don't know.
I mean, the combine was real bad for me. It was like that one. That combine actually was like problematic for me with like with work, because everybody all of a sudden was like, you can't criticize sports because you know you can't play anymore. It was like. Okay. I mean, I don't know about what about like every other like sports analyst in the world who can't fucking you don't ask you know, Adam Schefter to go out there and fucking lift weights, do you? But but I do remember that being like I was like yikes, like I wish I did not do this. So like I definitely took a hit on that. So I wasn't like ashamed of it, but it was like that was I wish that didn't happen. I'm trying to think of content we did that was like the hot dog eating contest. I don't know if it ever made it out. That was just embarrassingly bad. Anything that did it? It was just so bad. It was not like ashamed of. It was just like, boy, this sucked.
Dave got mad because he kept thinking I was fake gagging.
Yeah, and as we know now, he's not. He's not faking it.
You're faking fiber. Like, no, I'm not, dude. I'm trying to swallow a whole fucking hot dog.
I'm trying to eat a hot dog whole, bro. Calm down.
Like, a whole hot dog that's been sitting in the sun that's literally covered in grass. Zilo dropped it. Remember they were trying to get it like they were trying to get like the whole table over a fence.
Yeah.
And like, it just tipped over a fucking shitload of hot dogs out of the ground.
They just rolled around in the dirt and they just picked them back up and put them in the buns.
I'm definitely ashamed of like words I used to say.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's more, you know, that the times changed. I ashamed is not the right word, but I mean every time I had to do something athletic, physical, it was always embarrassing for me. It wasn't like ashamed of it.
Like, dude, when that like Zola movie went like got announced and then my blog ended up being like on like front page of Reddit. So it was like the number one story on Barstool for like a couple of days straight, and it's an article I wrote probably 7 years ago.
Oh, the whore one? Zola's the whore?
Yeah. Like Zola and her whore friend. I was like, Jesus Christ, John, that's a little aggressive.
But, dude, that's what used to...
It was a whore.
That was just a good descriptive headline. That was the game back then. As a matter of fact, you see Dave's got a... John, your pants are not even on.
fuck that up.
Oh my god, that was great. You're just rubbing your dick with your fly down, dude. You go, oh, I fucked that up, and you just made it worse and worse and worse. Dude, anyway, did you see Dave's latest beef, the guy who wrote like how Dave Portnoy became the face of the Republican Party?
No.
So some dude from like Politico wrote like an article. I love, on the one hand, I get Dave's point. He's like, you wrote this whole article, no mention about the Barstool Fund, no mention about what my actual politics is, all this shit. I also love the other side of it where Dave is like surprised and or complaining that he's being aligned with Republicans. Like, bro, you talk to the president, you go on Fox News every 35 seconds. Like, you can't be surprised by this. But he tweeted out the guy who wrote the article, and he was this dude who had like this comb over and these glasses, and he wear this suit. He's really like weird looking. And someone tweeted, "Do not let KFC write a headline or a blog about this guy." And it took a minute for it to register for me what it meant. And I was like, "Yup." And then I looked at the tweet, and I was like, "What does that mean?" And then I looked at the picture, and I was like, "If I wrote a blog about that guy, I would call him a pedophile." And then I was like, "Oh, I get it. Yep. It made sense."
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Last one, let's go. This is so easy.
Hobbit worm. These things are pure nightmare fuel. Do me a favor and look it up.
A hobbit worm?
Bobbit.
Bobbit worm. So the question, John, is which ocean animal would be the scariest if it lived out of the ocean? So if it swims, it would fly through the air. And if it walks on the bottom of the ocean floor, it would just walk on the ground. He said a bobbit fish. Now, I don't know what that is. He says look it up because a bobbit fish is like absolutely terrifying.
Bobbit worm, sorry.
Worms are going to creep me out. Anything that's like slithery like a snake and like an eel, that yeah,
this thing's got like a mandible on her, a fucking...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's that bad.
If this was like a big-ass thing walking... this is kind of... It's like a snake. I mean, these things already exist. It's like a gigantic centipede.
This absolutely exists.
Bro, the answer is a giant squid. Imagine a giant squid flying through the air.
I was going to say just based on sheer mass, like a blue whale.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess a blue whale, it would be like a blimp, like flying through the air. But I'm thinking of an octopus like a Medusa almost. Like, I don't know, these wings are like, the legs are all like wingy, and it's just like rotating and flying through. It's got the suckers, it's shooting ink at you, it's eating you. Plus, they say octopuses have, like, octopi got really good brains, right? They're really smart.
They have 8 brains.
Do they? Or they have 8 legs? They have 8 brains, too?
Yeah, there's a brain in each leg.
No way.
Yeah. So maybe they have 9 brains? I think they have a brain in the head thing.
I don't think that's going to be a true statement. I'm challenge. Throwing the challenge flag.
All right. Let's see. I'm also curious if it's true.
How many brains does an octopus have? You said that so confident.
Because I'm right.
Let's see.
Holy shit.
9 brains! Technically, you were wrong. You said 8.
No, yes. But I said 9 later.
You did. It has localized and centralized control over their actions. So, 9 brains, 3 hearts.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Wouldn't that be great? So, some octopus bitch breaks your heart. Like, I got 2 more, bitch. Don't even worry about it. You ain't shit. Man, 9 brains.
But there's also, like I don't know the name of the fish, but there's, like, there's plenty of things that would be horrifying. No. Just very scary looking.
There's that one deep in the deep, deep sea that
angler?
Has what?
Anglerfish.
Anglerfish. There's the one that has it doesn't need any light and it's like translucent, but it has it makes its own light. Is that what anglerfish?
What about a shark?
Yeah. Anglerfish has the teeth. That's like, I mean, a shark would be pretty fucking scary.
Like a shark, just like if it was just eating birds in the sky, like it's raining blood.
Yeah. Just chomping them out of the air. That's kind of the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much shark is the answer for everything. In the water, out of the water, whatever. They're the scariest fucking thing in the world. All right, that's it for voicemails. Feitelberg survived. We whipped through it for Johnny's sake. He made it. What a fucking hero. What a warrior. He only saw his dick once. His eyes rolled back in his head only once. He made it. Let's talk to the boy, Will Compton, now. The Bussin' with the Boys. Well, half of the Bussin' with the Boy. So Bussin' with the Boy, we'll call it. KFC Radio crossover.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Will Compton on KFC Radio. was a great life. That's the other thing, too. He's
did Drooms on Tuesday today.
Did you microdose?
I'm microdosing right now,
yeah,
man.
My man. I forgot to ask you.
Elevates the energy.
Dude, I was walking.
Can you do that shit?
Can't talk onto a microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was walking to work today, and I just started smiling. I was like, I never do this. This is pretty good.
And so you can feel it?
Never
smile?
Never smile just walking, no. I never just like...
Allegedly, you get better clarity. Yeah. You get a little upbeat tempo.
I've had a pretty fun day today. Like, and it's amazing. By no means is it like a trip or anything like that, but it's just like...
It's micro version.
It's definitely like a poly placebo, but it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, is it a placebo?
If it works, it works. I remember the first time I dabbled with that up at your place, and I'm pretty nervous about that shit. So I was like, I don't know if I'm in the right headspace. All these things. So they gave me like a little bit of it, and I remember his buddy who had who was kind
of
like
full
their Sherpa of the whole thing. Was like, yeah, I was worried that, maybe you weren't going to get the experience. And then I looked over at you and you were sitting Indian style on a tennis court, just staring at the light going, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I was feeling it. Same thing with me. I was like, I don't think I'm really feeling it. And then I realized I was staring dead into a light.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think I do. I think I am
That's
feeling
awesome.
It. But yeah, man. So Will was supposed to go into all these meetings and basically blew them all off for content. But not on purpose, but it was just like, this ran late, Dan, come on in. And
guilted me with this kid.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He's like, just do mine first. It won't take long. I'm trying to get
total
to
Dan
my kid.
Move.
Yeah.
I can hear the way he said that. Yeah. It's fine. Meanwhile, the people upstairs were like, what the fuck is going on here? But I was saying, it's all good because you guys are doing so well. I mean, I feel like Busting with the Boys has been...
It seems like it's doing all right.
Yeah.
You never kind of know. You know what I mean? You just don't. Because it's not like you have everyone's data to know where you actually are. You kind of just look in rankings.
I don't think people realize that. We literally do not know.
Like YouTube views.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's why things like YouTube, Instagram, like where the views or the metrics are public,
right,
is nice because you know where you stand. A lot of times with all the stats behind closed doors here at work, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like how are we actually doing? Right. I don't know.
But that's where I wish I used to walk in there going, I want $10 million a year because for all I know, I don't know, maybe we're the biggest podcast in the world.
You never know.
Like, yeah.
All these deals everybody's signing these days.
I mean,
Levitar, what was it like?
Dude, $50 million.
$50 million
for like nothing really, other than just
licensing.
Not, it's not like it's exclusive.
Licensing
on
the pod.
This yeah.
His is not exclusive.
It's like I think he has to exclusive. I meant like. Not like when you go to exclusive to Spotify and you're only on this platform. It was like they just have to work with DraftKings. It's like,
oh, really? DraftKings
work with. Like they don't own the IP.
Yeah. It's just like a 3-year deal for $50 million.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, some big numbers floating around, man. Were you guys a podcast like before Barstool and then like came aboard?
Correct. Yeah. So we started in like late May, early June of 2019. And then we had gotten DM'd. Our busing account got DM'd by Gaz.
Got
the
it.
Old Gaz, man. Yeah. He's always out there lurking.
He's in the shadows.
He DM'd probably in July.
Okay. So were you...
Were you
planning on going somewhere? Like, was there a chance
no,
that you were going to go anywhere else?
No, the first thought when you're starting a pod is you're just thinking like, no, we're going to fucking do this all on our own. Yeah. Like, fuck everybody else.
Joe Rogan, man. And then it's wait a minute.
I mean, that's that fucking athlete confidence, though, because my first thought when starting a pod is like, no one's ever going to listen to this.
Well, it's got to be nice. Like, there is definitely like a pro athlete bump for sure, where you just got to, you get like, you just have a little extra credibility.
No doubt. Like, we knew that, okay, we're one of the first in this space, like active NFL players having a podcast together.
Huge.
And just letting it fly. Like, we're kind of saying whatever. Mm-hmm. We're FaceTiming every night because we backlogged probably five before we released one. We were thinking, man, is this going to be dope? Like, is this going to be cool? Like, we were kind of thinking the same thing. Like, if we got big, like, oh, we'll do this on our own. But we were also very, like, insecure and, like, are we going to sound okay? Like, I wonder if people are going to like it. You knew you would get the initial bump of people listening. Like, I wonder what is going to come out of this.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, then you probably have every reporter probably, like, first thing they do is listen
first
to
thing,
it.
First thing, our first pod, we had Delaney Walker on. He's talking about, the organization talking about draft a tight end. And I'm like, fucking draft a tight end. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they grabbed
that
as a headline. And he talked about getting an IV bag, and he felt like he was almost dying. So, of course, the headline is like, NFL player talks about near-death experience.
Yeah.
And that's on, pro football talk,
part,
like
though.
All that stuff.
Yeah,
and the next week, Vrabel has a big team meeting. I wasn't on the team at this point, but obviously Taylor's briefing me on all of it. And, I'm, like, talking with Vrabel in the interim about it all. And it's like, guys, look, I want you all to go on this podcast. I think it's awesome that they're doing, you know, what they're doing. You just got to be careful because you're going to have a microscope in these, the media outlets, like, you know how it works. Like, they're going to take any bit you say and try to, you know, contort it around into whatever headline they want, and it can make us look bad. So just be cautious. So I'm sure they're on the other side.
That's what they, like, I'll be honest, if I was a GM or an owner, I'd be like, nobody, no, you're not doing a fucking podcast. Are you kidding me? We're, like, somehow, some way, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to say something. They were just like, you can do it, but just be careful. That was
not necessarily. Like, I just want to do a podcast. I was a free agent at this time.
Right.
Taylor had just signed the biggest O-line contract in NFL history.
Right.
So the dotted line's already signed.
Uh-huh. He's so like, there's gotcha, like, bitch. Now I'm going to talk into a microphone every week.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's not necessarily a guy you can just cut because he's like elite on your team.
Yeah, he's got the leverage.
You're kind of just sitting in there, you know, tight asshole, like, man, I hope.
Please don't.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't go bad.
But I also think that, like, yeah, I mean, you guys seem like trustworthy in a sense.
Right.
You know? Like,
it's definitely
risky. You're not
trying to
torpedo anything. You're not, right. You know.
You but you also don't know what you don't know. What, you know what I mean? Like, the Titans, the first year we went, like, I'm a free agent on the couch, as they say. Taylor had just got popped for his suspension, for the PED suspension. So he's out the first 4 weeks. So we're steady doing podcasts. The Titans start off 2-4. So when they're losing, they like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm at home. Like, fuck, man, I don't even want to tweet about busting with the boys because people are just going to, you know, the whole shut up and dribble.
Absolutely.
Shut up and
play
football. Yeah. You're losing focus. Like, you're not this. You're not, and what's going on? Yeah, you're not trying to help the team. So there's definitely some, like,
which is such a weird thing, because, like, how much, like
totally.
People think that, like, I don't know. I guess people just think that athletes are doing something at all times. Like, they're not human.
People
don't look at you guys like human
beings. At the sport.
Yeah, they're 24 hours in a day.
Right.
Most of them I'm sleeping. A couple of them I'm playing football.
And,
a lot of them I'm eating.
Also,
like,
a lot of them I'm talking.
Right.
And this time I'm just talking.
Yeah,
I used to get mad, though, so, like.
I do get mad about people tweeting. Like, that's,
yeah,
like
that's
what are you
what's
doing
crazy
on Twitter right now? Like, I'm not being a fucking human being in 2021.
Right, and somebody pops off to you like, oh, what are you doing on Twitter? Oh, what is this, your platform? What is this? Are you a professional tweeter? Is there only a certain type of people that can be on here?
Right. I used to get mad as a Mets fan when things were going bad and Cespedes would just golf every day. And I was like, I get that you have all this free time in the world, but just know that there's going to be a huge swath of fans who are pissed off that you're basically doing another sport instead of the one over here. So, like, you can do it, but just know that there's going to be the consequences,
for
which
sure.
I think is probably a similar situation here, too, where it's like you
golf
gonna
is much longer when to, though.
Yeah. It's all, I mean,
you're on the sun, you know, you're working a little harder.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who, like, was having problems, like, you know, I'm like, this is, like, the last thing you should be doing. But, yeah, I mean, it's
video,
like,
games. I mean, guys play video games all
up their
the
thumbs,
time,
dude.
Bro. Like, all day long. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was more like, let's get some of these conversations we're having in the locker room, in the hot tub, in the sauna, all that stuff. Like, let's get them behind a microphone because we all talk about all these things, like aspiring, like, to do business deals or listening to certain people talk, laughing at certain jokes, bantering back and forth. So that was, like, the motivation behind it. And as long, it's like, you know, for Taylor – you show up and do it for, like, you know, an hour. I was the free agent. I was the person that's like, hey, I'll handle all the other shit, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just show up, do your thing, be entertaining. You know, we have our friendship, and, you know, what else is he going to do for that hour or 2 hours of the day? You can only work out so damn much.
right.
You can only put your life to it so much.
Yeah.
How
it's
many,
just like, not to cut you off, but on another note too, like, you go through college, right? And you're taught as a student to build your resume as good as you can. And when you're in one job, especially in the business world, you're looking for the next job. Like,
always
setting
building,
yourself up
growing,
for plan B. Thank you very much.
All that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Always plan for the next step, the next stage. Be, you know, have a toolbox of a lot of things you can do. Be well versed in a lot of different areas so you're not pigeonholed in one area. That's what you're taught as a student going through college in the business world.
Yep.
Adapting to all those things.
And
all of a sudden, when it's a sport, you don't want them doing anything else other than their sport. Like, what if they have interest in other things? Why can't they sharpen their tools there? Because the minute the game's over, that same logo that wants you to sacrifice everything for the team, for the organization, for that logo, the minute it's over with, that logo's not making sure you're laying your head stress-free at night, setting you up with another job.
No shot.
They're not doing that. So you got to think, like, as an athlete, about life after the game, what you're interested in. Because once the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, it is stressful. Like, I haven't tasted the other side of it yet. I'm fortunate to have started building Bustin' with the Boys. But that year that I was thinking about building Bustin' with the Boys, I'm thinking, like, what do I want to do after football? Because I don't necessarily know. And life is going to hit me pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And the minute you get on the other side of it, your jokes aren't as funny. You're not as good looking. You don't get to shake as many hands anymore. Yeah. You don't get to get in all these meetings.
You're an
rooms.
Ex-player. Yeah, you're a former this. You're
a former player trying to get in the podcast. Right. You, I mean, you see it everywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's why I said earlier the active thing is so huge, because there's plenty of people who retire or wash out or whatever, and then they try to recapture it. Capture it now while you've got it and kind of have them overlap a little. And it's a totally different game.
Absolutely. And I'm not, like, diminishing, like, me being talented and, like, podcasting and doing entertaining and being a personality and stuff. Like, I'm not, like, belittling that. But it's, like, at the same time, it's not like I'm some superstar player that is doing this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that goes out and is on social media and doing these things. Like, at the same time, you're, like, you're trying to be, like, an example for those guys who are, you know, not necessarily starters year in and year out, mm-hmm. that can show that you can juggle a couple things and also be curious and be interested in something else.
And especially a sport that can, like, bam, could be gone.
You right.
I mean, it's a violent sport, injuries, whatever, where all of a sudden it could be gone and you're like, well.
And you're cut, you never get called again.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. That same logo will toss you to the fucking curb as soon as, you know, you're not useful to them. And now you haven't been doing anything but that for 5, 6, 10 years, whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy to expect people to just not be a well-rounded person.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. I was on Token, and I was telling Erica, it's like, you go 23 years of your life. Now, obviously, I didn't play football from, like, 0 to 8. But you go 23 years of your life to try and get drafted in a sport that lasts 2.8 years on an average career.
Jesus Christ, that's crazy.
And the minute you're done, yes, I've lived the dream. Like, I've done what my young self wanted me to do my entire life, and that's play professional football. I wasn't a running back. I wasn't the next Walter Payton, but right. I got to play in the NFL. Like, I did it, right? And the minute it's over with, like, it's all I've identified with. Right. It's all these players.
And you're still your
with.
Young self, by the way. You're not an old man.
Right. When
you're just a little bit older of yourself. That's exactly. really good.
And, like, you know, you identify with being an athlete your entire life, and then when it's pulled out, like, it's just – everyone retires, right? Like in high school, you might retire after playing high school, and so you start figuring out sooner than everybody else, like what the real world's going to be. In college, you might be done after college. You start figuring out what it's going to be like, the real world. But when if you're fortunate enough to play for a while, like, you don't really know what the real world is like until it just hits you in the mouth, and then everyone's like, I mean, dude, you are a player. Like, you'll figure it out. I'm sure you're doing well. And you kind of, like, a lot of the guys, they kind of just hide behind whatever they're saying. Yeah, I'm going to figure this out, that out. Then go lay their head on the pillow at night, and then it's like,
now?
What the fuck?
You're selling cars back in your old town.
Exactly.
I like the spin zone. That's why I retired out of high school. I wanted to get a head start.
I retired. That idea, everyone retires.
Just wanted to get a head start with my real life.
I figured it out. Young, man.
Were you aware that you had, like, podcasting chops and entertainment chops? Like, you're probably, like, one of the guys, like, the clowns in the locker room, probably one of the guys who jokes around, kind of has, like, you know, holds court or whatever. Or was this
I enjoyed doing those. I enjoyed I've always enjoyed bantering, like, making people laugh. Like, I always knew, like, I enjoyed just being in the social media space just because it was a way to, like, the way you think of things that think play on your head are funny.
Yes.
You realize people laugh at them. Yep. So you're like, you enjoy making jokes and people laughing, like being on Vine when Vine was out.
Yeah.
Like, I just love doing that kind of stuff. And then.
So, you always gravitated towards it.
Podcasting was a way to, like, I was, you know, all the podcasts that everybody listens to, all the comedy ones out there, the Joe Rogans of the world.
Yeah.
Ben Greenfield Fitness, he was more of a performance guy. But I just listened to podcasts all the time, like when I was in the league, like when I was on Washington. And I would just think to myself, like, man, it'd be cool if, like, players had a podcast. Like, if somebody had a podcast, because I understood what we all talked about in the locker room. And it's like, I know people would like this. I
love to hear that, man.
But I just never got out of my own way of doing it until I decided, until I was getting nervous, like, hey, I'm late in my 20s in the NFL. I was a backup and I was a special teamer my year with the Titans. I didn't get to play at all because nobody got, you know, but unfortunately for me, no one got injured in front of me to where I could play. So I thought, you know, I might not play again, maybe. So I need to start working on this thing if I actually want to do it. And Taylor's like, yo, I'll do it with you. That gave me all the courage in the world to do it because your boy's doing it with you.
And you swipe for the boys' slogan, and there you go. You're good to go.
No doubt. That Saturday for the boys stuff.
Has anyone like followed in, like, your footsteps? Like, are there other podcasts?
There's more coming out.
I was going to say, if not, it's about to be, man.
Yeah, like you have Trust Levels with Cam Jordan and Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm. But they, like, the ones who I've seen that have done it, they've been, like, seasonal. Like, as far as I know, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I haven't looked hard enough.
And they're seasonal in season or out of season?
They were seasonal. They pre-recorded them and dropped them in season.
Okay.
But as far as I know,
those dudes, they start,
it just doesn't.
That kind of starts to feel like I, in this. Oh, I haven't listened to the podcast, so I can't really speak to it. But that almost feels like the weekly college football appearance, like, for the coach on, like, on the local radio show,
right?
Where, like, he's not really going to say anything.
No,
you know, like yours has that almost air of uncertainty. Where you're like, yeah, these guys just fucking shoot the shit. Like, this is. But when you're like, it's pre-recorded preseason, and we're going to let it out in season.
Doesn't work.
I also think just, like, there probably aren't many coaches who would let their players do this. Like, Vrabel just wants to be in the energy. He can't wait to get fired.
He's using football to get to Hollywood.
Dude, he Vrabel is one of the boys, man.
Yeah, it's honestly the perfect, like, storm. I really, like, do you think different coach, different city, different teammates probably doesn't all come together, right? Like, I think there's very few set of circumstances where this unfolds, like, as successfully as it did, because
for sure. But there's also, like, there's that side of Vrabel that people don't get to see behind the scenes all the time, because he's a funny dude. Like, he gets to be in front of the camera,
hilarious,
like, he's funny even when he wants to be angry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's a very focused individual and never wants anything to be above the team. Even though some things seem like they are at times, he does a great job of reeling everybody in. Like, there'd be times last year, like, my asshole's tight in meetings because he's like, let's check on our fucking social media manager this week. And I'm sitting there like,
God damn it. Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name.
And then, like, you'd see him in the hallway, like, when I was on practice squad. So then I would tweet a little more during the game, mm-hmm. and he'd be like, hey, like, you know, I'm sure in his mind, like, listen, don't do stuff that's going to hurt the team. Like, just making sure my head's in the right space of, you know, not damaging the team or making anything about anything.
And that's obviously a fair word for the coach to have. But he sent me the funniest text I've ever got in my life. And actually, not funniest, meanest text I ever got in my life, where we were talking shit before the Pats game, Pats-Titans game. I was down in Nashville. And it was like, I mean, you guys kicked the shit out of us. I think it was like the Pats went to win the Super Bowl that year, but it was like 50-6 or something.
Oh,
like that.
that's in 2008.
Yeah,
yeah.
No. 8.
2018. My fault. 2018.
It's probably 18.
When you guys came to us.
Yes.
And it was like 21-0 right out of the gate.
Kicked our ass. And we've been talking shit before the game, and then he sends me a GIF, and it was just like, it was a funny GIF, and it was like, I think it was like a Doc Holliday and Tombstone or whatever. It's like, I'm here, Huckleberry.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's a great GIF. I got to give it to you. And he just goes, yeah, I can do your job. You can't do mine.
Dude, he's got it, bro. You got to come correct around Vrabel.
I was like, all right. I mean, what the fuck is that, bro?
Because even as a player, like, he played 14 years. He's won 3 Super Bowls. So what are you going to tell him?
Yeah, like,
can't just jab at you about it.
Like, I'm better at you. Again, I can do your job. Like, I think that dude could suit up right now.
Right.
You know, I remember thinking that, like, especially when the Jets were at their low point. I'm like, can Vrabel still play, man? Can you throw a helmet on, brother?
We sure could use you. You're a Jets fan?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
tough.
Yeah, man. It's so genuine.
So genuine. You were reaching for water bottle, and you, like, pause. Like, it hit you like a ton of bricks. Like, oh, Jets fan?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, tough.
Yes. And you know what happened? I don't know why. I was, like, looking through my Instagram, and I was swiping through, like, old videos of mine, and the goddamn Jets episode right after they won the game to, like, lose the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Mm. And I was like, this is the worst, you know, for a team that has never been to a Super Bowl and really not done much in my lifetime other than a couple AFC appearances. That was the biggest game of my life, because it was like, we might set up the next 10, 12, maybe 15 years.
Right.
And we won, so we lost. I was like, this is the worst thing that's happened to me as a Jets fan ever. But it's so backwards, because, like, the Jets win. Yeah, we won. Like, how fucked up is your life as a fan that the worst thing that's ever happened to you as a fan is that your team won the game? That's how warped being a Jets fan is.
Do you hope this? Do you hope that Gary Vee is one day the owner of the Jets?
Listen. Okay, here's the thing. Gary, I love to death. We've had him on the show. I drink the Kool-Aid sometimes. I think And he's a real fan, so, like, I like that. When someone's, like, really invested, it's not just like, I'm a billionaire and this is one of my assets that I play with, you know? He would really, really invest it. However, he also sat down when we signed Adam Gase, and I was like, bro, like, what are we doing signing Adam Gase? And he was like, what did he say?
I forget what he said, but I laughed.
He's going
right
to be like
face.
The offensive guru. He's going to be like coach of the year. And Feitelberg literally cackling in this man's face. Like, you're a fucking idiot. And I remember thinking, I was like, bro, like, I, and he knows, you know, he knows so much as a fan. Like, he knows everything about the team and everything. And I'm like, how could you possibly fucking think Adam Gase is a good idea? Like,
yeah,
so I wanted to be the owner.
This is Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Yeah, so this is like, you said you drink
the Kool-Aid sometimes. Like, that was a default. I think everyone can use some Gary V. Kool-Aid.
Absolutely.
I understand, you got to mute him, like, because it's very overbearing at times on social media. But if you understand the game he plays
and the brand he's trying to build,
and he also is very open.
Viral TikTok right now.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
When he's like
the shoot in the face. What's the most important thing in your life? Your family, right? Now imagine if one of them died. Imagine if one of them got shot in the face.
He's like, every day sit there for an hour and thinking of them getting shot in the face. I'm like,
even what? He says
shot
in the fucking face.
Shot in the fucking face.
Just with a straight face.
But there is something.
I don't see enough of him as you two do to know, but I see that and I'm like,
what the fuck are you doing?
I've met Gary like three times. Like, we have fun on the show, but I see that and I'm like, wait, is that what he says all the time?
I think he used to actually literally say that. That was like his. He would say that at multiple like conferences or whatever, and then it started to be like a joke, and he was like, all right, I gotta stop. Yeah. Like people are laughing at me about this, but you know, someone who's that successful, who's that kind of corny, but also will say shoot in the fucking face, and is a diehard sports fan, and all these things. Yeah, I think drinking the Kool-Aid on some of those things is important sometimes.
Yeah, every now and then, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Are you feeling in the rest of your life, socially, whatever, like the bussing with the boys bump? Is there like are you like now an entertainer kind of? Like other guys are in the league, the guys, the girls, the family, friends, work, is it now like, you know? People know who you are because of this show.
I'm more recognized for bussing with the boys than I ever have been in football.
Well, but that's also
maybe when I was on Washington, I was like the starter and stuff. Like, yeah. I would get recognized some, but honestly, even
forget about your, like, the sport of football in general is a very like anonymous one in a lot of ways.
Right.
Like, really, only the cream of the crop is getting recognized on a daily basis because you're wearing helmets and because there's so many players on the team. You know what I mean?
True.
You'll
stand
out more
in the city, like in the town that you play in.
You go viral more for this kind of shit, and people see who you are. You got those baby blue eyes.
You guys don't even know me and my old teeth. I don't know if you've seen them. Oh,
what, you look like you were chewing on rocks before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How small were you? You had those early stage
Jenna Hayes teeth.
Dana B. Small chiclets, spaced out a little bit, chipped. I didn't wear a mouthpiece. Like,
wow.
You wear a mouthpiece?
No.
What are
man.
You what, crazy?
It's tough because communication. You want to communicate, and every time I found myself doing it, I'd be spitting my mouthpiece out.
I was also gonna say,
and then you're sitting there, your teeth out.
You're sitting there doing this before the play starts, and you know.
I do actually. I never really realized that some players don't wear mouth guards, and I've definitely thought that watching a Pats game, be like, is Hightower even wearing a mouth guard right now?
You
or
see a lot of linebackers
Brady?
That don't.
And you don't, and then people don't just. Or they do just regularly get.
I found some that were that are bottoms, and they just don't get in the way of the front, so you're able to talk more.
When did you get these new choppers?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
When I got the new teeth, is when I looked into protecting them. But yeah, bro. I mean, we were down in Mexico, and I was going back to get a cigar, and this group just yelled, "The boy." And they're from, like, Minnesota, Arizona. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? That was probably the first time where I was like, oh, this busting with the boys. There's a little something to this.
I always hear Bert Kreischer loves you guys.
Dude.
And he's always shouting you out and always talking. And obviously it's a great show. But I think, you know, the allure to him of current players and guys who are in the league and all that, it's just such a rare thing that you can be active and be a player and also have the chops to talk, and when guys like that are co-signing you, and you can hear it, he's like, he becomes like a football fan.
He wears the Barstool hoodies on his show.
He's always like, oh, busting with the boys. It's like, you know, he fanboys about it, and so it's weird because, in, you know, you're in his world, and he's fucking, they're up here, you know? But then he's thinking about you in your world where you're up here compared to him.
Isn't that fucking nuts, dude?
Crazy.
And at the same, it's like all in the same breath. It just gives you perspective that we're just all fucking humans trying to figure it out. And we all get fired up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like your 1 minute man stuff. Or people talking about fights. Like when we signed here, it's like I knew Barstool for sure. I knew the big names and stuff like that. But once you like once we signed on, I'm like, all right, I want to get to know everybody. I want to try and follow everybody. I want to try and say what's up. Like, mm-hmm. you know, slide in a DM. Hey, welcome mm-hmm. aboard. What's up, man? How you doing? And like, you know, in our world, you're going into this Barstool world and you see all these people. Like, we had Dana B on the pod thinking like he was the man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you just, which is fucking wait, which is hilarious. We get the same reaction every time when we talk about that.
And he's the king.
Don't get me wrong.
Dana B is
he's
the man.
He is the
Dana
man.
Dana B is the man.
He's but just not, but he's the not man. The man. Yeah.
But it's just all perspective, right. man. Like we're it's all so true, we man. All just kind of well, want to fit in with each other.
Especially here, though, Barstool. You are either to certain people, you can be like the most famous person or an absolute fucking nobody. You know, like,
right.
you meet some guys who are like. You know, they will, like, fall to their knees for Dave Portnoy and Dan and shit. And then, you know, you talk to their girlfriend or one of their other friends. They're like, who the fuck is this? It's like
wild.
The only
Dude,
thing.
I
think it's the only thing where you can get that famous and that much notoriety, but also be completely, like, nobody even knows who the – you know, if you make it in movies and music and shit – everybody kind of knows you. In this world, you might be...
Okay, I'm going to tell a story that I've been too embarrassed to tell, but you got to...
Yes!
Let's go!
Open the window for it.
Yes!
Dude, so we're doing the Borelli's things, mm-hmm. and we're doing the streams and all this shit, and this... I was going to the bathroom, was coming out of the bathroom, and this kid in a fucking spitting chicklets jersey with two earrings and a nose ring and this, like, slick back hair goes, hey, man, hey, you know, I just want you to know I respect you. And I was like... All right. Okay. Like, what are you talking about?
John, he's like, I don't even respect me.
he's like, it's just like, I don't know, like, no one's around you right now. And, like, you know, like, I've seen you on the Spit and Chicklets page. Like, I know you're somebody. And, like, it's okay that, like, no one's here right now. I was like, bro, I just walked. I tell you, I didn't say anything. I was just like, oh, cool, thank you very much. And I walked away like a little fucking pussy.
Hey, but now that we have mics right here, we can talk about it.
But I was like, I just walked out of the bathroom, and I'm not on Spitting Chicklets, so that's why you don't see me on the Spitting Chicklets thing very often. You goddamn idiot.
But yeah, so that guy has no fucking clue.
He didn't know my name. He asked my name, and I went, I'm going to catch you later. I will fucking see you later, buddy. I don't need your respect.
Stoolies are crazy, man. I'm telling you.
In your experience, are like football fans of a team crazier or are Barstool fans crazier?
It depends. Like, are we on the internet?
Well, yeah, I mean...
I guess even like those are comparable, too, but, yeah. like, you know, it can get pretty ruthless out there no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like
would you rather be, you know, on the field having, like, you know, on an away game having crazy football fans chirp at you or, like, you know, get bombarded on Twitter with hate? Like, is it the in-person hate or the...
In-person hates better.
Because you could, like, at the end of the day, you could beat the shit out of all these guys.
Yeah. Because when you go to Philly and you know, you're playing for Washington and they just hate the shit out of you, dude, and they're just cussing, you're low-key like, yo, we're in it, bro. Like, this is it. This is like
trenches.
This is like peak NFL story you want. Like, they just fucking hate you, bro, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
But when you're reading stuff about yourself on the internet and then you're... You know, your insecure self comes out.
They know just what to say.
Yeah, and your insecure self.
Like, your teeth are gross. You're like, fuck, they are, man. Fuck.
Damn it. And then your insecure self is thinking, like, that your boys might be reading and everybody else is reading the same comment.
Yes,
like, man, I wonder if everybody thinks that way. And he's just the first one that was courageous enough to fucking hate on me.
You know what goes through my head? I've seen, like, somebody chirps at me and other people will notice it, but they'll bring it up being like, yo, can you believe that, like, that dude said that, like, your podcast is a failure, whatever. Like almost like I saw that person hating on you, and it's so wrong and such a joke that I'm bringing it up to you.
Right.
But then when you're getting hated and nobody brings it up to you, that means, like, I'm thinking in my head, they're reading it and being like, yeah, that guy's right.
But also,
you know what I mean? Like,
but maybe
whatever
they don't even fucking see it.
Yeah, that's all. Right. I'm like, well, I'm more mad when they see it.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Don't talk to me about that shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking my. Don't you fucking go through my mentions. That's fucking my business.
Yeah.
You fucking deal with your own shit.
Yes.
You deal with your 6 followers. Leave me the fuck alone, Tom.
And the dudes who are rooting for you, too, like, they're not going in and fighting that.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, everybody hates, but nobody, like, defends. Everybody. Right. It's so easy to be negative and not easy to be positive. That's why I do always show love to people who, like, go out of their way to, like, defend or to say, like, you know, what up, I like your shit, because it's just so much more. Although, do you guys get a lot of hate?
Every now and then, for
sure. I could see Bustin being, minus, like, some football fandom, I could see you being one of the most universally loved shows at the podcast at the roster.
I mean, we have those, but you also have people who are, you know, who aren't about it. You know what I mean? Like people that'll try and at and say like the For the Boys things, like overplayed stuff like that. Yeah. But you just know, like, all
fuck
right,
off.
Yeah, like
you get a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, you get a lot of like I can't that. Believe like. Other journalists and other outlets and football people be like, I can't believe you associate with Barstool. You get that shit?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That, that would be the one thing
when they were coming
see.
After y'all last year during quarantine.
Oh, forget it.
I'm forget talking it. People. Like, I can't believe you're with them. I can't. I respect you guys, but I can't listen to you guys anymore mm-hmm. because it's the Barstool logo.
I never
like
got
that.
That though. It's like you know, you never stop listening to Pardon the Interruption on ESPN because the executive at the top got in some trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only Barstool where it's like. One person represents everybody.
For sure.
And not only, it's stupid for other reasons. It's like you're just misguided. But even if you really had a beef with my shit, why does that mean you can't listen to your shit? Fuck that.
Right. And like Dave said it too on the pod. He was like, okay, I like Spittin' Chiggles, but I can't listen to Barstool. I like Bustin' with the Boys, but I can't listen to Barstool. I like KFC Radio, I can't listen to Barstool.
All of a sudden,
I like it's like you're listening to, yeah, you're listening to all Barstool.
Yeah.
But because like you guys are so polarizing on the internet,
yeah.
Whether it's good, bad, indifferent, all that stuff mm-hmm. takes from all different angles. It just kind of it's just like a melting pot. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, man. But you guys really did a great job of there are certain people who show up, who get, you know, they sign up and they like ingratiate themselves and take the time to like send a DM or say what's up. And then there are people who are probably like kind of assholes about it. There are people who are probably just more like quiet and reserved and feel like maybe they don't know if they can reach out or whatever. And
right.
there are people who just make sure that they like let it be known. And you guys were great about that. Like,
yeah,
both of you being like, you know, thanks and let's do this and like excited and shit. So
it's camaraderie, dude.
Yeah, and that's probably comes from, you know, being on a team and knowing how that all works. But I never, like, from the jump, because I'm always a little skeptical and there's always a little bit of competition. There's always a little bit of like sizing people up when they come
no,
in.
But, yeah,
and
always.
From Jump Street, you guys, I was like, they're good, they're in, you know,
yeah,
they're cool.
Yeah, you do too. It is, you kind of like, you know, you want to posture and see what's
definitely.
About.
It's like,
and you bet, oh, damn, they're in the space now, too. Like, it's with us, too. Like, I'll watch I Am Athlete, and I'm just like, fuck. Like, Chad Johnson, they got Ocho Cinco on that thing. Yeah. Brandon Marshall, like,
right,
they
right.
got some good stuff going on. But you, like, you just realize, like, talking with Brendan Schaub, I don't know if you guys have had him mm-hmm. on and stuff, but Schaub's like, bro, there's so many eyes and ears out there. Like, there's enough for literally everybody. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's how we do it
they
out in L.A. We just cross-promote everybody everywhere through Rogan, through Fighter and the Kid, like, the Bert, like, all the comedians just live in this universe, kind of like the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's so many eyes and ears, like, there's enough for everybody.
That's the L.A., the West Coast vibe is something I said I always wanted here. Where, like, my dream would be to try to be, like, an extremely poor man's version of Joe Rogan. Where it's
right.
like you come through here as a comic, and we try to put you on and get some eyeballs, and then we all cross-promote. Because that's there. But the thing is, they all eat. They all got their money. They're all pretty successful. So they're okay with, like, you come on my show, I'll help you out. I hope you blow up. Because I've already kind of blown up, you know?
Yeah.
In New York, it's still comics are, like, cutthroat and, like, well, if you blow up, that means I'm not blowing up and the competition is still so crazy. But I think if people got over that, that's when you...
No doubt, because there's so much to go around. And it's like...
I hope that happens with sports. I hope, like, and I hope there's more football podcasts and you guys will be like the OGs of it.
Oh,
but
that would
everybody,
be sick.
You know, collaborates. Like, let's all get paid, man.
Right. Like, yeah. Just create this universe of everybody mm-hmm. going in and out. Like you said, cross-promoting. I think it's a... I do. I love that vibe. I love that West Coast vibe that you're talking about, too. Because it's like those are the podcasts I was like listening to that got me going on
yep.
this whole podcast train.
And you and Taylor were boys before all this? Like, always?
Yeah, so
like,
we – so it's funny. Like, Taylor's very much – like, it happens fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He got married in 5 weeks.
Like, oh, wow.
So I was
everything
like,
he does
he, like,
is
best friended me in, like, a few weeks. You
wow.
know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
And we were – we were at, like, we were eating breakfast together when I just got there because I was, like, a new face with the Titans. And there was a few of us that, like, would get breakfast together, and Taylor was one of them. And we were actually, like, going over, I guess, bonding over, like, a Joe Rogan episode that had came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was we were talking about, like, Ben Greenfield and then, like, you know, this sounds so corny and gay. But, like, hey, it's all good. I went on Pat's podcast. That's all I can say. You know, we were kind of Billa buddies, like in the sauna, the cold tub, stuff like that. And it sounds so such a bromance. It happened
yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
And then we went on the Titans podcast together, and we just kind of became like best friends very like step very brothers. Fast. Yeah.
You just become best friends?
Yeah.
I'm glad he has one because I got beef with Taylor.
Why is that?
I got found out about it this morning.
Oh, this morning.
Yeah,
this is breaking.
I just learned about it that I have beef with Taylor.
Do I know this? What happened?
Nope. I didn't tell you either. Leaving my apartment and my girlfriend asked me what was on today and I was like, oh, I'm interviewing one of the guys who busted with the boys and I got this and this and this. And she's like, oh, I know Busted with the Boys. Taylor Lewan's on. That's on his podcast, right? And I was like, yeah. How the fuck do you know what that is?
Uh-huh.
And her friend lives in Nashville, and she was seeing a player on the Titans, and she went down to stay with her. And then she's like, you know who you should DM? Like, he's really hot. You should DM Taylor Lewan. And so my girlfriend did, and then looked at his profile and realized he was married and deleted it quick. But then the player she was seeing on the Titans was like, oh, no, Taylor already saw that. And she's like, wait, why'd you have me send it? And I was like, so you DM someone at my goddamn company, and I'm just finding about it.
Damn!
I'm finding out about it right now.
Damn!
Slid in Taylor's DMs.
Yeah.
And he saw it.
He didn't reply.
He didn't reply. So apparently he
didn't
see it.
Sounds like you got beef with your girlfriend.
Right? Thank God you're misdirecting that anger.
We were not dating at the time. I don't actually have beef with anybody. But, yeah, she told me that this morning.
That is funny. What would?
So what makes you bring it up right now?
Dude, what if?
Right before today. Come on. Dude, I'm going to the big game. I got to hear about this.
What if, imagine, if Bustin' with the Boys started and if Taylor was still a single guy and he had banged your girlfriend? What would you do?
That would be so tough.
What
man.
If it was like, yo, what's up? Like, we're the new guys, like Bustin' with the Boys.
Wouldn't be doing this fucking interview right now.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. It just zooms out.
And I'll tell you what. Like, Taylor's one of those guys. Definitely wouldn't want him banging my girl.
It's not a guy you want beef with. Yeah.
I just picture him drinking through the fist, banging his girl. Like, nope, don't want you on top of her.
Yeah, damn. Just crying at home by yourself. Like, fuck, I can't do nothing.
Yeah, it is. Like, what am I going to do? Yeah.
We had this discussion recently. Like, if a big athlete were to, you know, hit on your girl, grab your girl, do something, like, there's nothing you can do about it, man. You can't stop it. You know what I mean?
So, hey, man. Hey, she's taken.
Yeah.
So, yeah, by who? Me, I don't know. Some dude. He's here, though. Yeah. He's here. He's out there. So you don't want to see you.
Dude, I would be like, yo, can I get the house key back? I'm out. Clearly, I got nothing to do here. I'll go home. Actually, you know what? You keep the key. You let yourself in whenever you need to be. I give Taylor my key.
I was going
to
say, just take over, dude. Yeah. Just slide in.
There's nothing I can do here.
I love it, man. Well, Boston's been a huge, huge addition to the team, and you guys has been great about it. So and carrying the For the Boys torch, man, it's been great.
Dude, I saw that 5-year post. That's a banger post, bro.
Yeah, man.
Getting all those guys saying
a lot of history there. I love leading off with fucking Slick Willie.
Yeah.
Phil Clinton, he's a murderer, by the way. Man. He kills people.
Adam Sandler was
Sandler had a bunch. Sandler like was holding signs about it, I think.
Dude, that's a quick video, but like
if
we were to compile all of them, I mean there was a period of time where it was like name a celebrity. They've said For the Boys at some point.
Yeah.
It's wild. So
that's got to be sick, right?
It's fun. Yeah,
you,
it's awesome.
Were you the
he was the
creator?
One.
Yeah.
He was the one.
I was.
And you're crushing it with the 1 minute, man.
I'll
tell you what, and this is going to be funny, how oblivious I am to like any negative comments out there. I didn't know you had haters until the Dave Portnoy. Hey, until the Dave Portnoy episode comes out.
Oh, yeah. No.
Didn't even know.
There's plenty of haters. That was, we were talking
because 1 minute,
about
man,
when
just
Dave mentioned me as in the top, like the
top five.
Then it ended up being the most hate I've ever gotten because people were like, why the fuck is he in this list?
Yeah. Comment after comment, you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what's going on with you to make you hate?
I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty flattering, Dave. Like, Dave like didn't completely forget about me and everything I've done here. And then the rest of the day, I was like, I wish you didn't say that. I wish I was top six. I wish I was on the outside.
Just punishing yourself.
But yeah, man, it's been great. Run next door and do answer the internet real quick.
Yeah,
all right,
absolutely.
Let's do it.